Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is called practical politics because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is, of course, rule-based politics, which is what you do at the voting booth. It's very, very rule-based and timeline-based, you know, every 4 years, every 2 years, so on and so forth. And full-spectrum practical politics is engaging and taking out an opponent or a system or a corporation, so on and so forth, by any means necessary under the rules or under the laws, but never breaking the rules or never breaking the laws. But to understand anything, we first have to teach you practical politics, which is non-voting politics. The first basics are the art of staying on point or using a talking point and being able to say it over and over again to make your point, not arguing, just making a point. But this is an introduction, again, to Follow the White Rabbit, and Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. The indigenous white rabbits of Europe are the fantasy rabbits. Yeah, we're the fantasy rabbits. 20 years ago, I was hearing that all hope was lost because Jews own the media. I'm sure you've all heard that. All hope was lost because the Jews own the media. Now, according to JewsGonnaGetYou.net, all hope is lost because we own the online media and the Jews are going to shut it down. All hope was lost because the Jews have too much money in America. Now all hope is lost because America's our race's last chance and America's bankrupt. All hope is lost because, you know, if you go back in time 300 or 400 years, all hope was lost because the Indians were so aggressive. But now all hope is just lost for the Indians. Unless we help them, of course, get some land or something. Be able to control their own destiny. But we're always engaged in this all hope is lost fantasy. It's the only type of fantasy I don't engage in because it's Malthusian. It's based on the fact that race isn't real. It's based on the fact that all else being equal, all hope would have been lost for us 3,000 years ago, most likely. All hope is not lost because we're still white, and this is comedy. I'm convinced that if you're listening to this 5 million light years from now, and you're on a planet with white rabbits, and they're saying all hope is lost, you're safe. But if they're not saying all hope is lost, you're probably in a lot of danger on some level. You know, 15 years ago, all hope was lost because white rabbits didn't notice immigration. Now every time I'm standing in line somewhere, they're always bitching about immigration. And by the time they recognize immigration's problematic, that's not a problem. That's a reaction to a problem, and the solution has been plotted by somebody. You know, it's kind of funny, and nothing's more funnier than at one time when that we could never have a voice, that we could never have a media. Now that we have an online media that is just dominant, it's dominant. If you look at the sites, even the mundane sites, our media is dominant. Even though the mundane white national site like VDare is just dominant. You know, all hope is lost for some other reason. It's always some reason. It's always some fantasy. But the fantasy has never once come true because you're still white. And the only thing, you know, in the first talk, I told you that the only thing you know to be true is that you're spread out over the whole top of the planet. You have weapons the likes of which you don't know, you can't imagine, and someone's tempted to wipe you out, but you're still here. In the worst case scenario is America would collapse and we'd go into consolidation and most likely be a Russian, German, Italian axis, and America would be split up somehow. The problem with even that type of thinking is I told you right away that all else would not be equal because we're white rabbits. All else will never be equal for us because we're out of the box. We're well past the time window for them to get an opportunity to kill us off, and we're not dead. We're still here. You know, one pervasive fantasy the racialist struggle has always been made fun of is Rojava, race war. I never really made fun of it because it's a fantasy that could come true. It is a fantasy. The Turner Diaries are a total fantasy. I mean, it's never happened. It's never quite happened. Well, there's a race war, but it's pretty one-sided. But it's never happened. That doesn't mean it can't happen. doesn't mean it won't happen. But it's not Malthusian based. It's not based on all things being equal. It's not based on ceteris paribus. You know, the Latin phrase means all else being equal. And Malthusian type of thinking is permeated. It's permeated this whole entire latter half of this, the latter few hundred years, 300 or 400 years of this dark age. It's never really worked for us because we're always engaged in some big fantasy that we make come true, like flying through the air on a plane, or flying to the moon on a space shuttle, or who knows what else we're doing. Right now I'm talking to you over a fantasy technology that nonetheless came true. So you really have to watch White Rabbit fantasies, as long as they're not Malthusian. Most of the white nationalists are now, the media is so dominant that it's now fractured, and they're now ready to fight over whether that Jesus Rabbit had blue or green eyes. You know, and that's the way white rabbits are. But if you're ever caught somewhere and they don't think all hope is lost, you're probably in trouble, in a lot of trouble. But if you're ever around them and they think all hope is lost for some reason or another, and it's always some reason, you're A-okay. But this has always been entertaining. But we are the fantasy rabbits, and we're always engaging in a fantasy. There's no way to escape it. Everyone listening to this will have some white rabbit fantasy, and it will be out there. Yeah, you will have some outlandish fantasies. Most of the old-timers don't think Rojava is a fantasy, but it is, because it's never happened. White rabbits are not conflict-oriented. Although there might, after 50 years of negative conditioning, you might get a batch that are. You might get a lot bigger batch than anyone's ever expected. One of the things our enemy had going for them is that we are not hyper-ethnocentric, and in any particular group, let's say you're at your office today, and in your office you have a group of 30 or 40 people working in your office. In your office, you're most likely the only one that would ever have any ethnic interest, and under normal conditions, 60, 70 years ago, you would stand up for those ethnic interests, and then the place would go back to being normal. You would stick up for those other white rabbits. Well, what they did was post-World War II, they isolated that one white rabbit, and it became easier for them for one particular reason. Everything becomes segmented. 150 years ago, if you wanted to be in the media, you were simply working for a paper or writing for a paper, some type of newspaper. Well, now, the media is a little more encompassing than that. You can have a podcast and be in the media. You can be online. You can be in the on TV. You can be on different cable television. You can write a blog. The pervasive media, everything's so segmented. Our creativity exploded, you know, in the 50s, our creativity exploded, and we went in all these different directions. And, you know, one time to be an engineer, you were just one type of engineer working on some type of machine and some type of factory. But now it's become all these different types of engineers. And so it became easy under the segmentation to control the one or two ethnocentric whites that are dependent on sticking up for their people. It became very easy to knock them down and to isolate them. The challenge for them came into once you isolate the white rabbit in the office, once you make it pretty much illegal or unacceptable for him to stick up for himself and everyone around him, because when you stick up for yourself for being a white rabbit, you're actually speaking for everyone in the room on an ethnic level, right? But they made it damn near impossible. But in doing that, they did something very stupid. They actually started irritating all the others. And it takes a hell of a lot to irritate them. Yeah, I mean, they're mostly calm as cats. Now you got quite a, you know, on any given office, instead of having one that's ethnocentric, you're probably going to have five or six running around dreaming little Pol Pot dreams, having little Pol Pot fantasies, dreaming Rojava. It's true, because as soon as you isolate that one, you have a clock on your head, because as soon as you're isolating one, you're negatively conditioning all the others at the same time. You're bringing it to the forefront of their minds. But when I engaged in 21, I went on several different angles to engage in predicting the future is very, very difficult with white rabbits. It's very easy with bears. It's very easy with black rabbits. It's very easy with Mexican rabbits. It's very easy to predict the future of an anthill. 10,000 years from now, there's just going to be ants. It's very easy to predict the future of beavers. 10,000 years from now, they're going to be beavers. They're not going to be building skyscrapers. They're not going to be building colonies on Mars. It just doesn't happen that way. White rabbits, it's very difficult to predict our future because our future is always more outrageous than you could ever predict it. If you were to predict, if you were to be a pilgrim coming to America, one of the first colonialists in America, you would never be able to predict this future in your wildest dreams. No, you wouldn't. If you were to be able to predict the technology post-World War II, you would have been wrong. You would have fell way short, even if you were some wild prediction. But I always take predictions very, very seriously. It doesn't matter how outlandish they are, because no matter how outlandish your fantasy of the future may be, we have the propensity to go way beyond that. So you got to be very careful. So I'll indulge every single fantasy as long as it's not all else being equal, all else being all is lost is always based on all else being equal. It basically is a contradiction. If a white nationalist thinks all is lost, it may be in your particular neighborhood against particular Mexicans for today. But you got to keep that in check, because all hope is lost is based on all races being equal. It really is. It's based on Malthusian type of thinking. It's based on a limited type of thinking. And if you can turn sand into silicone, all hope is never lost. That's just common sense. And so we'll see as these machinations for this war come forward and what happens afterwards. I think even the most hardcore racialists that expect to know scenarios and expect this to happen a certain way are going to get rattled. I think you're going to get rattled, because we're going to find out how real race is. You're expecting certain things that may happen and may not happen the way you expect, and usually this type of thing gets a lot bigger and a lot crazier than anyone can imagine, because it did. It did after the American Revolution. It certainly did after World War II, when they put the full court press on us and the things that were happening behind the scenes, and we can't reconcile any of it. But it's about to all be reconciled in one big ball. So this should be pretty interesting. So no matter what type of fantasy you engage in, as long as it's not based on all else being equal, well, it's probably okay, no matter how far you go out there. But all hope is lost, and then, you know, you see this becomes very pervasive. They go from one angle to the other. You know, all hope is lost because the Jews own America, but all hope is lost because America's our race's last chance to survive, and America's bankrupt. Well, if Jews own America and America's bankrupt, aren't they bankrupt? But, you know, it goes from one extreme to the other. I remember when Boris Yeltsin was in charge in Russia, all hope was lost for our race because Boris Yeltsin was owned by the neocon rabbits, the pink rabbits, banksters and elitesters. He was going to split up Russia and destroy Russia. That was an accurate analysis. But what they didn't see was that race was real, and you had Putin coming there sticking the knives in the backs, and that's what he did do. Now, of course, it's the direct opposite. All hope is lost because that Putin rabbit is going to use this big unified Russia to kill white rabbits. I don't know where they get that at. You know, Putin's claimed the whole entire North Pole. Most of you don't pay attention to that stuff, did you? Yeah, Putin claimed the whole entire North Pole, and then shortly thereafter he said he was going to put power plants on Mars. Well, he's not talking like a pink rabbit when you start doing things like that. He's talking to white rabbits everywhere, if you know what you're listening to. But all hope is lost because he's a Jew, or his wife's a crypto Jew, and he's going to get those, and he's going to use this unified Russia to kill white rabbits. Well, I'm not happy with any. I understand the point of not being happy with any leaders because we don't have a home. But I have a feeling the future is going to be a lot more interesting than any wild imagination I can give you, because what is coming out about our past is certainly getting more and more fiction, more and more like a work of fiction coming true. So this should be pretty interesting. But in talking about white rabbit consistency, a consistent behavior pattern, all hope of loss is certainly one of them. And it's to the extent that I believe that if you're anywhere and they think that all hope is not lost, you got to watch it. You're probably in trouble. But if they think all hope is lost, you're clicking right away. You know, all hope is lost. They're going to get our guns. Well, I guarantee you, if they came to get your guns, you'd realize pretty quickly with what happened in this in America that all hope wouldn't be anything but lost. But that's funny stuff. But that's typical white rabbit behavior. White rabbits are the wacky rabbits, the fantasy rabbits. The difference between our fantasies and everyone else is there's a high likelihood of ours coming true. There is no likelihood of the Black Rabbit fantasies coming true. They're not going to build pyramids. It's just unless something extraordinary happens to their DNA, it just isn't going to happen. But you know, this penchant for fantasy is certainly racial. It is certainly racial, and the technology that comes out of it is fantasy. But you sit here, and everyone takes it for granted. They take it for granted, and then they go on some other alternative path of all hope is lost on some other level. But it becomes almost comedic to listen to year after year. But as long as it's not Malthusian based, as long as a fantasy, I don't care how outlandish it is, as long as it's good for white rabbits, I think it's fine. As long as it's not all hope is lost, because all hope is lost is based on race not being real, and if all hope was lost, there's no possible way we could have survived this long. All hope would have been lost 3,000 years ago for certain reasons. There's no doubt in my mind. But talking about this next scenario is pretty difficult because we have problems with the past. And everything's coming out of World War II. And the type of information coming right down in the National Geographic Channel is kind of shocking. You know, to think that they'd show bombers, Hitler bombing New York and London in some simulated bombing run, that he would have won the war, you'd think that type of thing would get flack from certain parties. I remember someone commenting to me when old Bob started his website back in the late 90s. They expected the SPLC to do huge fundraising letters on old Bob, because Bob Whitaker's worked for the CIA, he was in the Reagan administration, he served this way, he served that way, he's very well known, he's very public. You can do your homework on him. He's one of those type of what you see is what you get rabbits. So they assumed that they would write a big fundraising letter and raise a bunch of money off Bob. I explained to them that the SPLC, the ADL, will never mention Bob Whitaker's name at all. If they do so, it'll be in passing. And to this day, I think the SPLC has only mentioned Bob Whitaker's name in regards to him being on the political cesspool. He doesn't exist to them. Oh, he exists to them. But he doesn't exist to them. Our blog, even this website, will never exist to the SPLC. They won't mention it. If they do, I'll be amazed by it. They have bigger problems to worry about. But there's always been this talk about our race has been, you know, the white rabbits have been in a struggle for our survival. At the gates of Vienna, we were in a pretty big struggle for our survival. Post the gates of Vienna in Europe, where the Muslim invasion was stopped, and the Reconquista went forward, we've been in a non-traditional struggle against certain European elites, you know, and it's become kind of odd in the post-World War II, as our population gets down, and we're just another big, massive majority on the planet. Yeah, there's more of us than the Arabs, technically. We have this big population spread out over all this land. We're starting to realize a few important points. We're not really in any type of traditional struggle for our survival in any odd way. We're in a very non-traditional struggle for life against a certain group of certain parties. They're isolated at the top of Anglosphere and France right now, and maybe some other parts of Western civilization. But this should be interesting to see how this comes out and what happens directly afterwards. But it's certainly become non-traditional. One of the wise men's talking about that bell, the de Glock, and how important it was for our race, I will keep going back to this as they start revealing more and more stuff to you. Because if we don't know what has been, we don't know what will be. And I can only go in a direction on this stuff. But as soon as they start revealing stuff, it's kind of like a series of if-thens. I'm going to know what portion's true and what portion's a little too out there, or what portion maybe I'm not out there far enough. And as far as these wild scenarios, but as soon as that bell goes off, the white rabbits are no longer in a struggle for our survival. Someone else is. Post World War II, they pretty much tried to kill us. They took the gloves off. They've asymmetrically attacked us every way, shape, manner, form you could imagine, haven't they? Let's be honest. Yeah, because as soon as that thing goes off, we're not in a struggle for our survival. Someone else is. That's the truth. And they took the gloves off, and they tried to take a fist, and they tried to basically asymmetrically attack us every way, shape, manner, form. And they're always telling you the truth. They're always telling you the truth when you're not equal. You're not. They're always telling you the truth when they call you a Nazi. they're always telling you the truth. You just don't understand what they're saying. But when they took the gloves off, they realized that they treated us. We've been in a struggle for our survival. But in reality, when that thing went off, My belief is, and I'm pretty much 99.99% sure, that we weren't in a struggle for our survival from that point on in any traditional sense. Our enemy was. And they realized it shortly thereafter for certain reasons, and they took the gloves off. Certain elements took the gloves off and tried to absolutely kill us by any means necessary. Of course, they don't have the numbers to run around shooting us, so they just try to let other people do it for them. But this is going to be an interesting event. But the only thing it did was it radicalized core groups against them. Nothing they've ever done has ever worked. Yeah, seriously, nothing our enemy has ever done has ever worked in the history of the world. It always fails. And as we came post-1950, things started failing in a larger and larger degree. Doesn't matter whether it tried to make black rabbits equal. That may have worked in ancient Egypt, but it sure as hell failed now. It didn't matter whether it tried to change Islam. It failed. They tried to go on an angle with Islam for World War III. That isn't going to work out the way they thought. They tried every angle that they could, every creative angle. They tried to kill us with immigration, but the blending rates for a blended humanity prior to 2007 were where they should have been in the late 70s or something like that. In other words, nothing they've ever done has worked, and every time they fail, they go back to the drawing boards and they try something new. So even if they were to have some supernatural antichrist come out and put together a new world order for them, it ain't going to last but a few months, and we all know what happens then. Yeah, the white rabbit guy comes out and he kills him and puts him in a pit just so he can kill him again 1,000 years later or something like that. So this is kind of starting to turn into comedy. But the only thing they have going for them is the thing we have going for us, believe it or not. They've had going for them the fact that we are prone to fantasy. We'll try to make the black rabbits equal. There'll be a core group that tries it, and they'll promote that core group. And that's what they do. It's only ever a few, just like there's only ever a few in any office that are ethnocentric. There's only a few that originally wanted to make black rabbits equal, but that few got promoted, especially among the East Coast set, the East Coast liberal elite, right? Well, it's true. It's only ever a few, but it's all it ever takes. There's only like one guy trying to stop forced busing. That's Bob Whitaker. That's all it really takes to try to, you know, he didn't succeed there, but he did succeed in ending them trying to force integrate private schools. He did some things in the Reagan administration. Well, it only takes one. But they always promote that dysfunctional handful. That's their job. It would have easily been stocked, minus their money, wealth, or whatever. But these things have always worked against them. But the one thing that has worked for them is our penchant for fantasy. One thing that has worked against us is this all hope is lost, the Malthusian fantasies based on all else being equal. Well, everything they've thrown at you has always failed. Yeah, for 3,600 years, someone's been wailing on us, but it's always failed. It's always failed. And right now it's failing. So that's the only thing you can really see. But it's kind of become funny. Our greatest asset is our penchant for fantasy, and that's what they got going for them, that you'll actually sit back and that all hope will be lost. The problem is that you've got a group of becoming hyper-ethnocentric, which is extremely rare. Nothing like this has ever been done, so that future is unquantifiable. There may be other reasons you're becoming hyper-ethnocentric. And this is going to be interesting to see this come about. But the SPLC and the ADL has never mentioned Bob. They never write big articles about old Bob Whitaker. They know who he is. They know where he's sitting. They know where his address is. They can go shake his hand at any time, but he doesn't really exist to them. He does exist, but he doesn't exist to them because the only thing they've had going for him is the fact that you might think all hope is lost. If something like that's not working for you, if something like that's trying to help you, well, then you might actually learn something new or be on a consistent message and bring everything to the ground immediately. Well, they don't want you to do that. They don't ever want you to know that. They don't ever want you to see. They don't ever want you to see anything true at all. They always want you believing some type of BS fantasy. I don't mind any white rabbit fantasy because I know that they come with a package. I would just prefer everyone believe healthy white rabbit fantasies instead of the pink rabbit fantasies, because pink rabbit fantasies have never once come true. No, they never once come true. That's the only thing we know to be true, is our fantasies come true, but their fantasies never come true. So all hope is lost is based on this type of Malthusian thinking, all else being equal. All else is never going to be equal because race is real. And if you have a race that can turn sand into silicone, well, they're never, ever going to be equal. And there's no going back in the box. Because as creative as we were 50 years ago, we're going to be thousands of times greater, supposedly. And we see everything accelerating, don't we? But that's the spiel on White Rabbit Fantasies. There's no way around it. Even if you think you're not engaging in a fantasy, you are. It's just whether or not it's healthy. Our enemy knows this. Our enemy is trying to develop some new fantasy. It's always based on global warming. These are all fantasies. They're trying to use energy flows. But they know our penchant for fantasy, our penchant to grab onto things. As long as it's based on race being real, I don't care. I don't care how outlandish it gets. Nazi UFOs come in from Mars and wipe everything out. Whatever works. Now, how do you know it can't happen? You don't know that. You don't know that at all. We don't know that. You don't know. We don't know anything, really. We can't see anything. But one thing we do know is that all hope is not lost, because there's still quite a few white rabbits with outrageous levels of technology and spread out over god-awful amounts of land for some reason, and someone's been wailing on them since time immemorial. In the past 50 years, it's become so obvious. Not even the oblivious white rabbits are having a tough time not owning up to it. You know, the Christians always talk about the Anti-Defamation League attacking them. But the point of the fact is that the Anti-Defamation League has never once attacked white rabbits they've never once attacked Christian rabbits in Latin America. They haven't attacked the outrageously growing Christian populations in Africa. They haven't attacked, to my knowledge, the ridiculous growth among the Christian populations in Southeast Asia. They only attack Christians in European countries. They only attack white rabbit Christians. Of course, they never point that out. You know, white rabbits never point that out. I point out the obvious. The Anti-Defamation League, they don't call Christians in South America Nazis. No, they only call white Christians Nazis. You know, but that's the funny thing about it. Our penchant for fantasy. So, why do white nationalists believe that all hope is lost? Why do a certain segment of white nationalists believe that all hope is lost? Well, why do your neighbors believe they're racist? Why did our ancestors believe they were evil sinners going to burn in hell? White rabbits are prone to fantasy. Yeah, if your neighbors were evil racists, if our neighbors were evil racists, we probably wouldn't have any immigration problems. And we wouldn't have had it from day one. But white rabbits are always prone to these fantasies. I don't mind it. They don't bother me as long as they're positive. But you always have to engage them in some type of positive fantasy. And that's where media control comes in. And I'm going to come back to this. Or we can talk about it right now. One of the things that interests me in Russia when Putin came to power is they took broad-based media control. They redid the textbooks. But there had never been a nationalist group, a European nationalist group in any way, shape, manner, or form take that type of control over the media post-World War II. Especially when it comes to TV. You know, TV is still relatively, we didn't really have anything to go by, and then you had the internet. So the Russians had TV, they had internet, they had cable. There's some negative conditioning going on there. Yeah, they're letting in immigrants, they'll do different things like that. There's some negative conditioning going on. The whole story hasn't been written yet. But one thing they did do with the media is they showed how fast white rabbits will change, because white rabbits love watching things. They love watching themselves. They love watching how glorious Russian history is. And it is kind of funny to see how fast it changed. And so now, you know, you got the Taliban over here in America, and they let his approval ratings fall under 50%. Putin's approval ratings are 66%, according to his enemies. So they're probably a little bit higher. It's kind of shocking considering how bad the economy is worldwide. But they let Obama come underneath 50%. Obama's approval ratings are probably 20% or something. I don't know anyone that likes him. But one thing you can always do is take control of the media, and it was interesting in Russia as the nationalist groups took control of the media and what they've done then. It's kind of like perpetual motion, but white rabbits love watching themselves. Yes, they do. It's like a guilty secret or something. That's why they love surfing Stormfront, surfing all those hardcore websites, even if they're not racial. They like it. It's a guilty secret, so it becomes kind of funny. But one thing that we do is we tend to universalize under benchmarks. In other words, white rabbits create certain benchmarks and they universalize it. They accept that everyone's just going to be like that. I remember reading a story on American Renaissance, Amren.com, about when the pilgrims first got here. When the pilgrims first got to America, those pilgrim rabbits, some of the early colonialists, they assumed that the Indians were just red Europeans, and that if they converted them to Christianity, they would act just like them. Now, of course, there's always one or two sane white rabbits shaking their heads going, it's not going to work like that. And in this case, some of them actually listened to them. You know, they didn't have a bunch of pink rabbits running around saying, yeah, that'll work. But, you know, and then you got in the 60s. In the 60s, you had white liberal rabbits in America thinking that if they just gave Africans equal rights, if they gave them equal rights, you know, civil rights became a universal standard. That they just gave them civil rights, then they'd just be like white rabbits and everything would be back to normal. But we have a tendency to do that. We universalize under benchmarks. They create some type of benchmark. It doesn't matter whether it's civil rights. It doesn't matter whether it's European Christian. Or it's even happening. I was talking to one who called himself a white nationalist, and he thought that the Asians would be on top simply from IQ. Well, what they've done is they've created these IQ studies, and these IQ numbers become a universal standard. And because they become a universal, something to benchmark under, the tendency for a white rabbit is to universalize it. Well, IQ is just a proxy. IQ doesn't mean as much because race is real. You have white rabbits with average IQs with amazing accomplishments. Why? Because creativity. IQs don't manage. They only work within ranges. And I'm not an expert on them, but I do know a little bit about white rabbits. And there are plenty of white rabbits with slightly above average intelligence that will knock anyone's socks off. And there's a lot of white rabbits with super high IQs that don't go anywhere. It's just there are certain things you can't measure in a test. You know, I remember in certain countries in Africa have outrageously low IQs. You know, in the 60s, if you were to take a white or an Asian rabbit with an IQ in the 60s, they couldn't operate. At the same time, if you go to any of these countries with these Africans with the IQs of 60s, it's deceptive because they seem just like normal human beings. Except that they don't build anything. They don't build space shuttles. They don't build anything. They can't maintain factories or anything. But they do seem like normal working, functioning rabbits. Whereas a white rabbit with an IQ of 60 isn't going to be able to feed themselves, most likely. I mean, they're going to have a lot of problems. Same true with an Asian rabbit. But these IQ things came out, and they created, you know, something for white rabbits to benchmark. And when they benchmark, they universalize. It becomes kind of funny. What's been interesting to me in watching the white nationalists grow, and the, I think what Bob would call it would be Pan-Aryan, which is better because it doesn't have an ism. But in watching them grow, is that white rabbits tend to love that. They tend to love anything universal, and so it's a positive, isn't it? Yeah, if they all see themselves as white rabbits, they all look in the mirror, they said, me a white rabbit, you a white rabbit, and they start universalizing it under some type of philosophy like white nationalism, or I think the old timers call it Pan-Aryan, which is a little healthier because it doesn't have an ism in it. But that's become pretty interesting as they become one big tribe. It's become interesting to see how much they like that. They tend to like that type of thing. But they're always trying to find some benchmark to universalize on under for better or worse. And we also have all kinds of other funny tendencies. You know, you had the Christians. The Christians were burning red-haired children alive for being witches. Now you got Jane Elliott, and Jane Elliott does her blue-eyed, brown-eyed thing, and she runs around persecuting the white children for being racist. It's the same thing. It's the same dysfunctionality. You know, the Christians thought they could, you know, they wanted to convert the natives and then burn the red-haired children alive for witches. Jane Elliott converts the natives into her anti-racism instead of her Protestantism. And then tries to burn the little white kids alive for having blue eyes. It's the same dysfunctionality. What she complains about in her ancestors is basically the same thing she's doing herself. It's kind of funny. And Jesus rabbit said it best, suffer little children. but we were always up to something on some level. And they never, ever want us seeing a consistency in our behavior, because then we might notice a consistency in the elite's behaviors, you know. I remember during the when Sarah Palin started running, and I don't see here or there on her because I don't even know what she's about really, other than she's not on any. I never heard her on any type of consistent message that I like, but I remember when she was running for office, Sandra Bernhardt, who was a Jewish lady in Hollywood, said that she would like to see her big black brothers in New York rape her. The other day I was reading on Stormfront, and I came across this quote from a lady from a Jewish lady, Sonia Milner, from her book A Season of Healing: Reflections on the Holocaust. And the quote is as follows: "The Russian soldiers fell upon the Germans and began to rape the young girls, the women and the children. Some 10 or 20 fell upon a little girl and raped her. We watched and beamed with satisfaction. We were finally being avenged. We were entitled to that satisfaction." They never want you noticing a consistency in our behavior, because they don't want us noticing a consistency in their behavior. And obviously those are some pretty dysfunctional quotes. But I always notice stuff like that, because you got to. It becomes pervasive at a certain point in time. But once you know yourself, everything else goes downhill. But white rabbits are the wacky rabbits. Yes, we are. We will go anywhere. We will do anything, and we are the fantasy rabbits. And there is no way around it. There is no way around our fantasies. All you can do is try to move it in the right direction. There's no way around our penchant for universalism. You just got to move it in the right direction. And what excited me, one good thing about Russia was the type of media control they got, and what they were able to do with it, at least to put the country back together and at least to survive. It was one positive. Just like the one positive I see from Stormfront and white nationalists is young whites tend to like that, because it universalizes things. It creates some kind of universal benchmark for them to come under. I think it's rather interesting. Another pattern that seems to be ever-present in the indigenous white rabbits of Europe is what I label moral supremacism, if I could put an ism on it. It's the act of one-upsmanship, and it's very unique how they go about it. In ancient Greece, for instance, women had weaving contests, and weaving was, of course, the ancient method of sewing. And whoever could weave the most beautiful gown, whoever could do this, had a great deal of moral superiority over all the other women, and that type of thing. And now, it's we're so morally superior, we don't have a color. Or even worse yet, I'm morally superior because I have a Chinese baby and an African baby. But it's the same trait of moral one-upsmanship turned very dysfunctional. And we see this in the men, too. Yeah, the men, I'm often reminded of the jousting contest with all these ridiculous rules of code and honor. And maybe they aren't ridiculous to some, but, you know, these rules that actually carried over into warfare, man. When the British colonialists went out, in these straight lines and everything else, and if you didn't follow the rules, if you didn't exercise under all these ridiculous rules, well, you didn't have any honor, and whoever had the most honor had moral superiority, that type of thing. And we see this in European warfare time and time again, some for the good and some for the bad. Now we see it has come completely dysfunctional, and it becomes, more Tiger Woods stats because he's the famous black golfer, well, then you got moral superiority over everyone at your office. Or if your daughter's dating a mulatto, you have moral superiority over everyone at your office. It becomes really, really ridiculous and absurd, but it nevertheless is a continuity in behavior, this tendency toward moral superiority. Another continuity in white rabbit behavior is this concept of once you get them going, once you have them upset, there's really nothing you can do with them. For hundreds and hundreds of years, kings would go on the line and try to get them, pretty much do everything to get them upset, long shanks them, for better or worse, then once you got a Braveheart, you got problems. There's nothing you can do about it. You see this in the American Revolution. Afterwards, George III got out of there. They didn't come back right away. They just, there's nothing you can do with them except come in and buy out leaders. You cannot do anything once they get upset. So although they're not prone to conflict, no, you're not. You're not prone to conflict. Once you get them at that point, there's nothing on this planet that's ever stopped them. White rabbits are very, very creative. They can call it that Godzilla on you, and who knows what they can do. And so predicting the future becomes damn near impossible, except to go in a particular direction, simply because all else is never equal. I've commented before on Malthusian type of thinking. I've used this word. I realize that opens up a can of worms because it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. The Malthusian type of thinking some would refer to it as Neo-Malthusian. Neo-Malthusian is what takes place at UNESCO, UNESCO, and it's a UN type thing. And what they want is they want a small anthill of humanity that's all like a Mocha Brown that they can easily control with technology. And of course they want to use the white rabbits to get their speckly rabbits. Well, that is the type of thinking the reason it's considered Malthusian is that they believe there's only a fixed number of natural resources, and those fixed number of natural resources have to be managed, and too big of a population hurts that. Well, it's wrong on both counts because the white rabbits are the creative rabbits. If you can turn sand into silicone, why should you be placing limits on those white rabbits? We've never once run out of food. If we have, it's but for a short term. We feed the planet now. So much so when we leave African countries, they all starve and they all want to follow us. Right now South Africa is being flooded with illegal immigration. The reason it's being flooded with illegal immigration is because Zimbabwe kicked out its white farmers. Again, we're the rabbits of abundance. But I agree with on the other point, too. If you don't interfere with it to begin with, well, then they're not going to have these huge population explosions, and they're not going to face the huge population, the population declines like they are facing. Unless you plan on feeding them your carrots, they're going to be in trouble. So the thinking's wrong on both counts. There's not a fixed number of natural resources because each tribe will do what's best for themselves over the long run. Sometimes they'll go to war with the neighboring tribe, sometimes they won't. But all things are never equal because all rabbits aren't equal. They're unique. You have to respect their uniqueness. The white rabbits are incredibly unique because they're so creative. We can do the impossible. I was watching something on the internet. And the internet got going 50 years ago with a bunch of scientists connected to defense on some level. And when it got going in America, no one in their wildest dreams could predict could predict where it'd be 50 years later. But there were some wild dreamers 10 years after it got going or so. But their wildest dreams that they had put down wouldn't come close to what it really did. Predicting the future for white rabbits has always been impossible, especially post-1685, because no one listening knows what we're really capable of, and we don't even know what we're really doing behind the scenes. So it becomes nearly impossible, because no matter how wild your imagination could get, if you were a pilgrim landing in America X many hundreds of years ago, you would have been wrong. No matter how wild your imagination could go out there, out on the limb for the internet, you would have fell short. So predicting our race's future is very, very difficult, other than we're still white and we're not going anywhere. You might go into some consolidation, but this is going to prove interesting. The reason that this Iran stuff ramping up, and there is going to be a war. I'm going to say this once, I'll say this a million times. There's going to be a war. The reason predicting everything afterwards becomes very, very difficult for yours truly, because I don't fully know the past. We don't know enough about our race. No, we don't. but someone did find out a whole lot. And we're going to be finding out more and more about World War II and what these guys did. And that is the National Socialists, or groups there. They may not have had anything to do with apples, but they were there, the Germans and the parties in Germany at that time. And what they did with technology and where that went to and what happened afterwards. I don't know enough other than the official story is obviously wrong because they keep on coming back to the memes. This week on the National Geographic Channel, they're showing more Hitler. You know, we got three Hitler channels here, and they're coming back to it. The you know, whenever the special is filmed, shows you how more accurate, shows you the type of information they're putting out. The stuff, you know, filmed about the Reich, you know, what happened afterwards 7 years ago is radically different than the stuff they're putting out now. They keep on going, and that's what I'm observing, a trend. So I don't know what has been, therefore I don't know what will be, other than the future has always, for us, proved a lot brighter and a lot more interesting than anyone could ever imagine. So this idea that we're in a struggle for our survival, not in any traditional sense. We've been in a struggle for survival against a handful of groups, now isolated, I think, in Western civilization, specifically some parts of Anglosphere. But they're so isolated because we're only 10% of the population. And if America collapsed, they're never going to have power ever again, period. Have they negotiated something for themselves? Was it divide or rule? Did the pink jackrabbits, the pink rabbit banksters and the leasters, were they divided? Did they negotiate something against themselves? Did they sell out the pink rabbits? This should be interesting to see how this goes down. But it'll all be reconciled. It will be. But predicting the future precisely is impossible. I can predict the future within a degree of certainty for Zimbabwe. Those black rabbits, I can predict their future. I can predict the future of certain tribes. They don't go anywhere. I can predict the future of bears. I can predict the future of anthills. I can predict the futures of all kinds of rabbits. But predicting the futures, we can only go in a trend that we're observing happening currently. Predicting the future for white rabbits has always proved difficult because we are we're too creative. We're way too creative. And if you don't know what has been, if you don't know what they were creating in World War II, well then how can I predict where they're going to be 5 years from now when I don't really know what they came out with 70 years ago or what happens after that? I mean, I have some ideals, but the stuff coming down the pipeline is stuff that 40 years ago was just fictional. Now it's become fact. So it becomes very, very difficult. But I think it'll be a lot brighter than most of you imagine for us. And things can change in an instant. Having some type of negative thinking doesn't really get you anywhere. At the same time, I realize that they have to indulge in fantasies. All hope is lost is just another Aryan fantasy. Yeah, it is. It's another Aryan fantasy, and I can't explain why you have that fantasy any more than I can explain why your neighbors believe they're racist or why your ancestors thought they were evil sinners going to burn in hell. But these are all just Aryan fantasies, and we have to try to program it down down a positive pathway, I guess. But this is the end of and the last thing I will say about Malthusian thinking is I was referring to the stuff the last half of the to come back to this point, last half of the 20th century, because obviously I'm not talking about his economic theory of rent. Bob could probably give you a mini lecture on that. Old Bob, he taught economics in college, I believe, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this idea of a fixed number of resources, and that we have to limit those because they're going to use them all up, so on and so forth. Well, most tribes, they use up their resources, they starve. We are incredibly gifted and creative, and so, you know, how do you fix a rabbit's resources when you can turn sand into silicone? Turn something useless into something useful. It becomes very, very difficult. It becomes very, very difficult. And also immoral to do, because why would you want to limit our creativity? I mean, we don't wreck the environment. We're not the ones wrecking any environment. That's all a myth. Just like global warming and all this stuff. You're finding out all the books were cooked. But typically, you know, one last observation I will make in white rabbit consistency, and this will be the end of 22, when 21 and 22 go together. One last observation I will lend you to is that, you know, in ancient Persia, the White Rabbits had themselves a religion, the religion among the Aryan nobles, and was called Zoroastrian faith. And Zoroastrian religion became pretty much universalized. It became an ism, a Zoroastrian ism. And the last king of Persia was a mulatto. America was a country founded by basically Northern European, and then expanded to all Europeans. And then it became universalized under Americanism. And now, of course, the last president is a mulatto. There's another continuity in White Rabbit behavior, isn't there? And this is the end of a dark age. A very, very dark time in human history. And one of the difficulty things for White Rabbits is we don't really know the past. No, we don't. And so all we know is we're on this third ball from the sun, and third rock from the sun, and we're the creative rabbits. And this should be an interesting time to live in. A lot more interesting than any others. But this is the end of 22, and again, 21 and 22 go together. So if you're listening to 22, you definitely want to listen to 21 first. I split them up because there's been some complaints about the length. I can't really control the length, but one thing I could say, the reason they're complaining about the lengths is they want them to put them on CDRs and to hand them out or do things like that. And what I will tell you is that you're feel free to cut them up any way you choose, as long as it's good for White Rabbits. Or you're trying to put out a consistent message about this attempt to wipe us out. That's fine with me. If you want to put them on CDRs, I will tell you that that you can put multiple programs on one CD. Yes, you can. You got to look up fitting numerous MP3s on one CD and go to a tech forum and figure it out. But there's no need in putting one MP3 on one CD, because you can figure out a way to put a lot more. And we've been asked about the T-shirts. The T-shirts are coming. The first one is coming out in the next couple days. And then once that gets perfected, the card is up. These things always take longer than they're supposed to, simply because of the different parties involved, and the fact that yours truly isn't doing it. I'm farming that out. So that will be up there, and there will be more characters issued over the next few weeks, with more T-shirts to follow, I guess, as you choose. But something else we've been asked to do by some older participants, and it kind of caught me off guard, is once they get the card up, I was asked if there would be any CDs sold with like the first 12 or the first 13 on it, you know, as many as you could put on one CD and sell them for whatever they cost. I won't do it personally, but the parties involved with the T-shirts may do it. There's been numerous requests to buy these on CDs. I will tell you what I told them. They can easily do it themselves. What I didn't really realize is that there's some older listeners that don't like to do things. They prefer to buy things. Well, I guess we'll think about that. And they have a CD press of some kind, and they could press out multiple programs and put it up there on a CD and send it to you. And once you get it, it would be very easy to copy, I guess. But we'll talk more about that. If you see it up there, you can feel free to go ahead and buy it. It should be a reasonable cost. But generally speaking, they're free. You can do it yourself. But I've heard you on the T-shirts, and they're coming. They're coming ASAP. As well as the different improvements. But I did not realize I had listeners that I'm not by any means some tech whiz, but recording multiple programs to a CD is not that difficult. But I am sensitive to the fact that some people don't like tech stuff, and they would just prefer to spend a few dollars on a CD with multiple different MP3s on it, so they could easily duplicate it or easily do whatever they want to do with it. I'm sensitive to that after it was explained to me. And so we'll see what we can do about that. As far as that goes, this is the end of 22, and thank you for listening, and we'll be back with you. Any news updates I want to tell you? Yes, Iran has been sided against with Russia. This is Saturday evening. It would be Saturday evening, November, I guess, 28th. And that's Iran has been sided against by Russia and China, but there still will be a full court press to war. It looks like to me it's inevitable. These are last powers jockeying into position and whatnot. and we'll have to see how it goes from here. Iran in turn kicked out the nuclear inspectors and so on and so forth. So don't think this ends anything. Based on what I've seen, it's just inevitable. It's been inevitable for a long time. We'll have to see who strikes the first blow. I'm guessing it'll be Israel, and then it'll get really, really interesting. But not if you're on a carrier anywhere in the world, or not if you're a person in the middle of it. But I'll be back with you on 23. This is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Follow the White Rabbit, again, is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is practical because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is voting politics or rule-based politics. And the ultimate, of course, is full-spectrum practical politics, engaging and taking down an opponent, a system, by any means necessary, within the rules, within the law, but never breaking them. And this is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Thank you for listening.